And good morning to you, saints of the Most High God. Welcome once again to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. I hope the audio is sounding good and you'll be able to listen very well. We are meeting in Cambridge, Ohio, and we're just excited to be here with you live with Facebook and later on in YouTube, on our YouTube channel. So keep that in thought and prayer as we continue to share the message of the Word of God rightly divided. And we are excited about some things that we're doing. And as far as getting the Word out in the area, we're working on a flyer to do about a 40-minute radius of where we're at, to let people know that there is a Grace King James Bible Believing Pauline Truth Mid-Acts Dispensational Church here. So that's exciting too. We got a couple prayer requests. Maggie, our dear sister in Christ, son Billy, has been diagnosed with some cancer. It's really upsetting to her, you know, especially when your children has these illnesses. And as a parent, it's devastating, I'm sure. So also our newborn nephew, Jackson, he had some breathing issues, but he went to doctor and everything's okay there. Keep thought and prayer for our ministry and other people that has finances troubles, work troubles, elderly, sick, healthy. The ones that lost jobs, the one that's got new jobs, that's prayer requests and praise items and all. So also keep in mind, pray for our government, okay, our leaders. We elect them. Some of them do good, some of them do bad. But we still need to pray for them. Whether you like them or not, you need to pray for them and lift them up to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so we need to really think about that and who we are in Christ. But the main thing is, if you trust Christ Jesus that died for your sins and buried and rose again, He saves you, He seals you, and He secures you to the day of redemption when He takes us out of here, okay? Until that point, this world is really not our world. Our conversation is not really this world, but we do have to live in it. And we do know that we work with people that are lost. We do know we work with people that are saved. So when we believe of who we are as dispensational Bible believers, we need to be able to stand, and they should be able to see who we are in light of the Scriptures, in light of what God is doing today. So I like to encourage you, if you're new to Right Division, it's going to be a struggle for a while. But once you understand there's a key to understanding your Bible, it opens up to you. And that's our encouragement here, is to be able to teach the Word of God rightly divided, where it'll be able to get inside your soul and make a difference in the doctrine inside your soul, and make a difference of who you are, and you'll be able to understand the times what we're in. Speaking of which, I looked on our shelf today, and there's a history book our kids used in school called Understanding the Times. And as you go through it and read it, it lays out everything we are today, and the government-wise and the worldview. So I'm opening that back up and looking at some things, and I'm like, whoa, this is what's going on today. So some of the things that's going on today is nothing new. It may be new to us because of the technology, and every time you turn your phone on, your TV on, boom, it blows up in front of you. But as we study the book of Daniel, Daniel understood some times that's going to take place over here in ages to come. And that's where we're at. But before we get there, let's go to the Word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank You for the time. We thank You for the things You have given us freely through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, as we lift up the prayer requests and praise items, that we are told to make all things known to You, and in doing so, it gives us peace. And we thank you for that. And that's what many of us are needing today. It's just a peace of mind. But when we let you do our thinking, when we let you do our thought process and just the things that you enable us to be who we are, it does make a world of difference. It does make a difference in who we are in you. And Lord, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lesson 68, we turn into Daniel chapter 11. As we was talking about Daniel, in the last lesson where we left off, we was talking about the man of sin and the son of perdition and what goes on in that 70 years over there. Now, when Daniel wrote his books, he was over here in captivity, okay? Then he's talking about a time period over here. And in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, now he's not talking about the dispensation of grace. So there's a contrast here, but we'll get in that in a little bit. But this is where we're at now, but Daniel's talking about over there in ages to come. And chapter 11, verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." Remember, this guy's going to work flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, and do exploits. And they, should underline it, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Now these people understand among the people. So there's a group of people over here that's going to understand among the people. That's many. Much like today, there's a group of people in the body of Christ understands what God is doing today, and that's not all, but it's many. And we should instruct. That's why I said on the onslaught, we should instruct people how to rightly divide the word of truth, the difference between the mystery program and the prophetic program. But they understand among the people and shall instruct them. They know what's going on, guys, and they know how to figure this stuff out. And they had the word of God and instructed them in understanding. Now, over here, believe it or not, over here they're going to have the word of God. Do you have the Word of God today? Yes, you do. So you can have, in times past, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples and all them have the Word of God? Yes, they did. Did Daniel have the Word of God? Yes, he did. Did Moses have the Word of God in Egypt? Yes, he did. He had the book of Job. So the Word of God has always been here, not on earth, since the beginning, before the creation. God used creation as to show what he was doing, but now we have the Word of God. So the Word of God will never leave, okay? Now, there's a famine in words today, and people says, oh, God, man wrote this, and God didn't do it. God inspired this Word, okay? This is an inherent Word of God that I have in the English language, in the King James Bible. So we can have, but it says, "Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by fame and flame, by captivity and by spoils many days." Now, verse 35 says, "And some of them of understanding shall fall." These are understanding people, okay? What are they understanding? Chapter 12, verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." Verse 10, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do the wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Isaiah chapter 32, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read this. "And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly." Now, many shall be purified, and the wise shall understand. So that's why I was telling you, Daniel was an understanding person, okay? And he's writing some things that he may not understood then, but that 70th week over here, what we're talking about, there are going to be some people, a group over there, Jews, that's going to understand what God is doing at that time. And God will have people to understand and what's going on. They will have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the people will understand And the Spirit of God's going to teach them those passages. And they're going to connect all that stuff together. Now, I may be jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but I don't want to, but I can't keep thinking about what's going on today. And every time I turn on Facebook or something like that, people's worrying about the end times and the tribulation period and the Antichrist. And that's what we're talking about here, guys. That's exactly what Daniel is instructing Israel, and we're going to see some things in a few minutes, what they're going to go through that tribulation period. Listen, if you're saved today, if you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, buried, rose again, I have a verse that says, I am saved from the wrath to come. So what Paul is talking about here is a catching away, a rapture event that saves you from that. Now, I know many religion out there does not teach that. They don't want to know that. They keep you bound. They keep you under the authority, and they keep the law on you to control you. But you have liberty in Christ Jesus today. Verse 33 in Daniel chapter 11. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity, by spoils, many days. There's going to be a tremendous persecution against that godly remnant over there. Now, we think today we have persecutions and tragedies, yeah, but it's nothing going to be like what's going to be over there for that little remnant, Israel. Verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall hopen, that's an old English word to help, to be help, and I'll show you a verse of that in Psalms, with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Okay? Now, Psalms chapter 86, verse 16 says this, O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and the son of thy handmaiden. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has hopened me and comforted me. That's helped. So they're going to get help over there. That many's going to be have help over there through the Word of God, and God's going to strengthen them just like He strengthens you and I through the Word of God. Now, people will try to get them into what people will try to get into them with flatteries. That's the Antichrist system over there. They're going to flatter you with things, and they're going to woo you. And people's with itchy ears, and they're going to go over and leave what they shouldn't be leaving. Okay? And think about this. That will be the things that Matthew chapter 25 talks about. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, he's on this earth. He's supposed to be Israel's king. They deny him, but Matthew is a book that's talking about a kingdom over there, not a kingdom here. It's a kingdom that's coming over there. He says, when you did it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. You gave them a cup of cold water. You visited you in jail. A visit when you were sick. That kind of thing. And they will get some help, but it will be a little help. But it's still some help. You know, I think about the times you growing up, the people that was less fortunate. You know, I didn't have much growing up, but I always looked at my neighbor, and they had less than I have, and it made me feel kind of bad. But and I still do today. I think about hunger. I think about feeding. You know, my wife and everybody, you know, makes fun of me a little bit, but when you come to my home, I make sure you're fed, okay? Or at least you're going to have something. So that's what I always worry about, people eating and stuff like that. It's similar to what Matthew's talking about. Verse 35 in Daniel. I know I'm going a little fast, so I need to slow down a little bit. Daniel chapter 11, verse 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge them and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, it's important to understand that the purpose involved in the tribulation period itself, that 70th week that will be determined upon Daniel's city, remember we looked at this, the city of Jerusalem, okay, and the people. What people is that? Okay, it's not you and I. You and I are not the Jewish remnant. You and I are not the Jewish people, okay? We're a bunch of Gentiles that was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of hope, and without God in this world. Okay, that's who we were in times past. That's why when you look at this timeline, this line up here on top is Israel's program. And Israel was elevated amongst any other nations down here on this earth. And grant you, in times past, you could be saved as a Gentile. You had to get up under Israel's umbrella. You had to become a proselyte. And you believed in the Father God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, you don't have to do that today. That's why in the book of Acts, it describes the fall of Israel. Israel has fallen because they rejected their Messiah. They rejected God the Father through John the Baptist. They rejected God the Son through Jesus Christ. And they rejected God the Holy Spirit through Stephen. So they have fallen here, okay? And they're down here with the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles today, how do we get saved? By trusting what Paul wrote, God through Paul wrote, about what Christ did at Calvary. He saves us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He seals us. And he puts us in a body of Christ, not a kingdom, okay? But a body of Christ. And that's part of the mystery program that we're talking about. Now, that people Daniel's talking about is his people over here. 70th week will be determined upon thy people. Who is thy people in times past? Israel. You're not spiritual Israel today. I don't care how you slice and dice it. I know people out there makes millions of dollars of telling you this, writes books and has these big churches. There's no such thing as spiritual Israel. When you spiritualize with spiritual eyes, you tell spiritual lies. And that's not what God is doing today. So once you understand that division, it makes a world of difference. And you can rejoice and say, wow, what a God. Because God's going to use Israel on this earth, okay, to take over the earth. And he uses the body of Christ to take back the heavens that Satan has. Now, the tribulation is a time period in which the nation Israel is prepared to go into her kingdom. Okay? And they are tried. And Peter says, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Now, the issue is the nation is to try out. And they are put on a tremendous prosecution to identify the godly remnant and the nation who will then go into and inherit the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ will set up when he comes back. Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile right now. Okay? He's just not in hiding. He's in royal exile with God the Father. Okay? And because he is royalty. But when he comes back over in a second coming, he's coming back and he's going to do some things over there and he's going to take back this earth. Now, he will bind Satan in a bottomless pit. He will establish a kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years over there. And after that, Satan is released from the bottomless pit and the heaven and earth will be melted away. And the great white throne of judgment sets up over here. And then the dead that dies and are not saved, they are thrown into hell, and the new and God and the saved will go into new heaven and earth, the body of Christ in heaven, the nation Israel and the Gentiles that got saved through Israel over here, like just like they're supposed to be over here, they go into new heaven and earth, and the dispensation of the fullness of times will continue, and ages to come will continue. We will continue to grow. We will continue to renew our mind. We will continue to be who we are in Christ forever and ever and ever. That's going to be a glorious thing. Now, at this point is that God purges the nation Israel through the tribulation period. It is that godly remnant, the believers of that time, that gets into the kingdom. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We may spend just a couple minutes here, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 24. A lot of people in the religious realms teach Matthew chapter 24 to be the rapture, but it's not. It's a tribulation period. But I want you to go to, where we go? Yeah, Matthew 24, sorry. 24, and he gets out of them the unbelievers. So when Israel goes to this tribulation period, it's going to be a lot of wrath and really bad things is going to happen. He's purging the nation, okay? He's going to purge them so the believer will go to the kingdom. The non-believers and even the Gentile nation stuff are going to be burnt. They're going to be purged, okay? So in Matthew chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, he told them of these things. And if you think about it, he sits down, I thought I had this. Yeah, he sits down with them. In verse 1, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. If you remember back in chapter 23, verse 38, when he went in, he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Lord Jesus Christ leaves the temple. God leaves the temple. Okay? He left them political back in Daniel. Now he's leaving them spiritually. Okay? And this is the second Sermon on the Mount, if you will. But he goes down through there. I should have brought my other Bible. I had it upstairs in there. But he talks about verse 9. And then they delivered up unto you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and they shall be hated of all nations. Ye shall be hated of all in my name's sake. So they're going to lift them up over here, and they're going to kill them, just like what we're talking in Daniel. And then verse 13 says, but he shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. How many times have you heard that? You got to endure to the end to be saved. That's not talking to you and I. That's talking to that little flock over in that tribulation period, okay? That's what they have to endure to the end to get in that kingdom over there. You and I are not enduring to the end to get in that tribulation period. You and I are saved. We're enduring to the end of our lives, but where our life is saved by Jesus Christ. And then he says, verse 15, And when ye therefore shall see the abomination desolation spoken of Daniel by the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. See, even Lord Jesus Christ was telling him, if you read this, let you understand that that's Daniel chapter 9 over there when they go in that temple. And then verse 21, For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's to the Jew under the law over there. They're going to be under the law. Then you look at the verse 29, immediately. Now, mind you, I don't have my notes here, and I kind of beat myself up right now. I have two Bibles, one up on my desk, and it's got more information on my notes. And then this one is the one I preach out of, which I should have the same notes in here. But as we read down from chapter verse 1 to where we're at, the six seals that's in Revelation, they're showing them in here. And I wish I spotted it on verse, but maybe next week I'll bring that up. But verse 29, immediately after the tribulation, those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You've heard that. My wife, let me have this for a second, because it's got some good stuff in here, which is okay. Just bear with me for a second. Thank you, my helpmeet. I was in Matthew chapter 25. We got between now and the catching away, so if we have to continue in another lesson, Lord tarries, and we'll do that. But anyway, This is a good one. So, in verse 2, go back to chapter 24, verse 2, Matthew. This is where, and Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, there shall not be thrown down." And he's talking about verse 1, the buildings of the temple. Well, Mark chapter 13, 1 and 2 is a building. Hosea chapter 8 talks about temples. Malachi chapter 3, and I don't expect you to write this down, but for $3.99 you can get the tape later on. Just joking, guys, just joking. You can listen to the tape later on. But anyway, Jeremiah 26, the second coming of Jesus Christ, what he's talking about, the stones. Verse 3, when he talks about he set upon the Mount of Olives, Mark 13, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew are there. And they're asking him a question. Well, this is the second Sermon on a Mount. The first one took place in chapter 5, 6, 7. Everybody talks about the Sermon on a Mount, don't they? And how he's standing up there. Well, very few will talk about this Sermon on a Mount. He's sitting there talking to them on the Mount of Olives. And then he says, verse 3, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" There's a question mark right there. And all questions refers back to Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 through 43, and the first half of the 70th week of Daniel. That's what they're asking about over here. When shall these signs be? And we know that he says later on, he says, "And when the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, the end shall come." Now, there's a gospel of the kingdom. There's a gospel of the circumcision. There's a gospel of the uncircumcision. There's a gospel of the grace of God. There's a gospel of the peace. There's an everlasting gospel. So which gospel is he talking about? The gospel of the kingdom. What God instructed, when the Lord Jesus Christ instructed the 12 to preach a gospel of the kingdom, the good news that the kingdom was coming. That's not the good news today, okay? The good news today, well, we have the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, that He came to this earth and died and buried and rose again, saves us, okay? Now, let's move on. Then you says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many." That's the first seal, Revelation chapter 6, when I talk about six seals, so you don't have to wait next lesson. We're going to talk about it right now. That's the first seal. Then he says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye are not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." That's the second seal. So even if you want to tie yourself down to Matthew, in the book of Matthew, what does he tell you to do? All these things must come to the end. Be not troubled. So he's telling them, don't be troubled. See, if you are a true Bible believer in a dispensation of grace, you're not going to let stuff trouble you. Yeah, I worry. Yeah, it does trouble me. Well, you know, we just got to line ourselves up with Jesus Christ has us in Him and just understand the times. Okay? Now, with the second seal. Then you say verse 7, "For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." Well, I know for the last 20, 30 years, these things have been taking place. That's the third and fourth seal. But I know where I'm at in Jesus Christ. I know where I'm at in the dispensation of grace. I'm not over here in the tribulation period in ages to come. Then he says, "And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." That's the fifth seal that's going to take place in Revelation. Okay? Then, I just licked my finger, but I'm not in a grocery store. But anyway, let's move on. Okay? And then he says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be what? Saved." Like I said before, that's the little flock. That's the tribulation period that they have to endure to the end. Israel does. Israel's got a bad sin debt that has to be paid for. Okay? You and I, our sin debt's been paid for. Okay? We have atonement now. That's great news. But look, And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Okay? I always ask this question. Why hasn't the end come? Because Colossians chapter 1 verse 23 says that Paul preached the gospel that was preached to every creature under the heaven. The gospel that Paul preached has been preached to every creature under the heaven. Why hasn't the end come? You should ask yourself, did God lie? That's one thing God cannot do, people. God cannot lie. You and I will lie. Okay? God cannot lie. So what's the deal? I just told you. The gospel that Paul preached is different than the gospel Peter, James, and John preached. And the gospel of the grace of God has been preached to every creature under heaven. What's happened then? People's using wrong versions. People's got itchy ears and blind. They just close their eyes. They don't want to believe the gospel that saves today. And Satan has blinded the minds, okay? Satan has blinded the minds. So if you can't see it or don't think you can see it, now you say, whoa, I never saw that before. Well, open your eyes. Believe the Word of God. I told you my story, and I'll tell you again. When the dispensational people come to me and they're sharing some dispensational truth, what God was doing in times past, but now in ages to come, I had to make a decision, guys. I wanted to be right for God. That's all I care about. And when I took the mentality of God was right, I was wrong, that settled it. It was like that old can of sardines. Remember that key you stuck in there? If you didn't stick a key in there right, you started out, boom. You just ruined your can. Then you had to get, a pair of pliers, and you had to rip it off, and you're worried about cutting your fingers. If you put that key on there, and you start out, it's slow, and it gets bigger, 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 and boom. This is right. And it opened up the whole world. I don't know it all, don't claim to know it all, but I will spend the rest of my time on this earth, if the Lord tarries, to understand what we're doing in the mystery program to help us out in ages to come in the heavenly program. And that's why we teach right division. Okay? Then it says, like I said before, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel by the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. That's Daniel chapter 9, verses 27, chapter 12, we're going to get to in the future, I guess. But Daniel here is a historical person. Okay? He is a fact person in the world. Okay? And God uses that. Then you get down here, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. The Jews are under law. There's going to be a time over there that's never been like any other time, and there's not going to be another time about it. So when they go through this tribulation and God purges them, we're going to see that in a little bit, He purges them, it's not going to happen again. That's good news for them, guys. That's good news for the world. Verse 29 we just looked at. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's the sixth seal. But that's not the rapture. That's Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 39. Why is the earth going to be shaken? Why is the heavens, the stars going to fall? Why is the heavens, that type? Because they're corrupted. Listen, when Satan fell from the third heaven, he corrupted the first and second heaven. Okay? When you look at the blue skies and you see the stars up there, Satan, Lucifer, was his name before he fell, he is the prince of power of the air. He is controlling that up there. He has fallen angels that's fallen him, and that needs to be rolled up and shaken, and they fall the earth. That's why all this is going to take place, the Armageddon and all that's going to take place over there. Then the heavens is going to be cleansed. In the midweek, we're looking at that. They're going to look up and see God up there, and He's cleansing the heaven, and all them fallen angels are going to come to this earth. We're taken out of here. That's what we call the catching away. You only find that in Paul's epistle. He's catching away up there to place us in those fallen angels' places. This is part of the mystery program. This is why you have to understand why you today is making an impact out in the cosmos. Okay? You're making an impact with all the angels that never understood this grace period, never understood the dispensation of grace, and we're making an impact. And they're probably looking at us like, man, if you was in time past, you'd be a goner. You wouldn't have a blessing. That type of thing. And they're watching God and watching God work through us, work through the body of Christ to make a dark world. And it is dark, and it seems like it's getting darker and darker and darker. Okay? And verse 31, and he shall send his angels, not Jesus, he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, one end of heaven to the other. He shall gather his elect over there. That's what he's going to do over here in the tribulation period. But God sends his angels back. You know, that's the difference between 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says the Lord himself comes and gets the body of Christ. See, that's different. Praise God. But then God plants Israel in Amos chapter 2, Amos chapter 9. Then you go down here to verse 34. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, told them not to look up. Don't look up. Stay focused. You're going to go through this thing. That's what they over here in Acts chapter 1. He had a verse question in verse 6 says, when will you again restore the kingdom to heaven? If you was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years that you're going to sit on a throne on a kingdom over here, okay, wouldn't that be the first question you asked him? After he died and was buried and rose again, you're like, wait a minute, whoa, what's going on here? You're supposed to live forever. That's why Peter says, you know, trying to stop them from killing the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, he had to go. He had to go to the cross. You know, recently, just yesterday, we did a workout at the gym, and it was, you had to hang on a bar for 6 minutes. For 6 minutes. And if you drop, you had to run 800 meters and then do 30 push-ups. Well, minute and 15 seconds, boom. Minute, boom. Minute, boom. 45 seconds, boom. Minute, boom. Okay? Minute, 15, that type of thing. Okay, minute. I did it 5 times. I had to run 800 meters 5 times and do 5 times worth of 30 push-ups. And a friend of ours was running around there. He goes, 2.5 minutes. Wonder how Jesus was on that cross. Well, Jesus was on that cross because of you and I. You know, he was doing the Father's will. He hung on that cross for all that time for you and I. Something that you and I wouldn't do. Okay? Boom, I fail. Boom, I fail. You know, if my life depended on that, I would fall. But I'm thankful for God Almighty being at the cross. Okay? Let me move on. I get a little teary-eyed about that. But that's what he did. They asked him, when you restore the kingdom. They wanted to know. And so all this stuff is coming down the pike for them guys over there, but not in a dispensation of grace. Now, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heavens, but my Father only. That's Mark 13, 32 adds, neither the Son, the servant, okay? Then, but in the days of Noah's were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For we done looked at this over and over and over, so if you just give me a few more seconds. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the flood. Who is they? Who was marrying and drinking and all stuff? The wicked. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who's them? The wicked. And then shall two be in a field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. We talked about this. The one that's being taken is being taken out, okay, to judgment. The ones that stand behind are going in that kingdom. And that's where we're at. Let's just go back to, we can continue down to Matthew. But if you want to, we have that study on our website, and you can listen to Matthew very, very well. But look, the tribulation is a time of preparation for the nation Israel to go into the kingdom. That's why I broke all that Matthew down. He's talking to them, and he's sharing with them what they're going to have to go through over there. Zechariah. Go to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13 and Malachi chapter 3. I'll give you a second catch up. I'm there already, but anyway. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. You know what you do in that? So you're a silversmith, you're a goldsmith. What are you doing? You take the dross and the impurities and the bad out of them. That's what that fire is going to do. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. So they're coming over here. God's going to purge them through that tribulation period, and it's going to take out all the bad people in Israel, and the remnant, the Bible-believing remnant, is going to be there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. By the way, let's keep Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare thee a way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messengers of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like the refiner fire, and the like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may be offered in the Lord as an offering of righteousness. God will put the nation through that fire, and that refining time of tribulation purged out, and the rebels, the rebellion type among them, and take them into the kingdom as a purified nation. That's why over here, and when they came out of Egypt, Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, God, through Moses, told them how to purify themselves, become a nation of priests. They had to be cleansed, not with just water. They had to be cleansed with ashes, fire, okay? And they did that, and they became a nation of priests. What's going to happen over here? That's why baptism, the water baptism of there, is a ceremonial cleansing for the nation Israel to become priests. Don't get me started on that. But look, go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Something to consider and study with regard to the tribulation period is a time of preparation for the nation Israel. Getting rid of the unbelievers, purging out the rebellion, preparing the nation to go into the kingdom, and the righteous nation that God has ordained them to be. God ordained them to be over here, but they never did. They followed idolatry, okay? They became corrupt. The God of this world became their God. They did it for filthy lucre's sake. You don't know any preachers doing that today, do you? Nah, they're all clean, all that stuff. But anyway, you know, I'm just making light of the situation. Well, it's really not light. You should expose that type of stuff. But he's going to be a kingdom priest over there. Now look at verse 20, chapter 22 of Ezekiel. Chapter 22 of Ezekiel. Verse 18, Son of man, The house of Israel is to be to me become dross. That's what that burning was, that refining. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the fire, furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord their God, because they are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gathered silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the fires, and blow the fire upon it to melt it. So I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. That's over there. That's it. That's Israel now. That ain't got nothing to do with you and I. I had to. When you read that you, it's not you. It's them. And yea, I will gather you and blow you up upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so ye shall be melted in the midst of thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. God told them over there that he's going to do it over there. That fury, that fire is going to come down on Israel and purge them. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. As I live, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with my mighty hand and a stretched out arm will fury pour out, I'll rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and the fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like I plead with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge you out from you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country whereof thou sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Go back to Daniel chapter 11. You see what he's doing over there? He's going to take them over and purge them out. And that purging, that true silver, true gold, true precious stones are going into that kingdom. And they're going to rule and reign with God Almighty. But we also know when Jesus Christ sits on that 1,000-year reign, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, he rules with a rod of iron. That's not still going to be a pleasant kingdom, people. Okay? When the King Almighty, God Almighty, is sitting on his throne of David, sitting there with a rod of iron, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's not a good thing. Because you know why? There're going to be unruly people there. There're going to be nations there that has to come up. Every Sabbath day, Jesus Christ is going to be sitting in the temple. They're going to come up through here, around the world, up through here, and see, and hell is bored down. They can see the pit down here, and Satan bound down there. And they look down there. If you break the law during that time period, guess what? You're in the can. You're in the pit. So he's ruling with iron. But after that 1,000 years, he don't rule with that. He don't need it no more. Everybody's been purged. See, great things are happening there for the saved. Not so great things for the unsaved. That's why we live in a time period that we really need to know that there's no second chance if you die unsaved. Every person's going to die. If God Almighty took the body of Christ, we that remain, we change into it. You're still going to die. This body's going to die. You don't want to die that second death. And people's going to be following that Antichrist over there, much like people's following on false prophets today. And they're flattering with itchy ears, and they're following a false doctrine and gospel, and think they're being saved, and they're not. That should really pull on your heartstrings. You know, that you know, we was talking with my brother-in-law's yesterday, and just two things that people don't want to talk about or says you better not talk about is religion and politics. Well, guess what? Those are the two things that we should be talking about. I'm making no bones about it, guys. I'm a Christian conservative, okay? I believe in Christian values, and I'm going to vote what I believe is right. I cannot vote for that type of stuff that's going on out there. That's me. You may not like it. You may think, well, you got to separate, church and state, that type of thing. No, you don't. No, you don't. At least I don't. You might have to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to make no bones about it. And I'm not going to put down religion. God hates religion. Okay, religion is bondage. And that's what we should think about that. We don't want to go into a religious system. We're free from that stuff. Whether you're saved or unsaved, if you're unsaved today, you're part of a religious system. You're part of Baal worshiping. You're part of idolizing. Believe it, whether you think of it or not. Go back to Daniel chapter 11. That was a little commercial, so I apologize. Well, I'm not going to apologize. I'll take it back. You just have to love me for who I am, okay? Daniel chapter, I'm a little rough around the collar sometimes, but Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. And the king, that's the Antichrist, shall do according to his will. We call him the willful king, and he does what he wants. That's what he's going to do over. The Antichrist is the son of perdition and the willful king. We went from the son of man to the son of perdition. He's willfully, and that's a scriptural term for him. The willful, he's going to do whatever he wants. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. In chapter 7, we talked about he's speaking great things against the Most High God. Revelation 13, the same kind of thing is going on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will exalt himself and call himself God. I hope you already seen those things we talked about. He will become God. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now notice two things right quick. He shall not regard the God of his fathers. You know, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the indication in the passage would make him the Antichrist, a Jew. In order to be able to say the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, notice that a God with the big G is also God Almighty. In verse 36, he says the God of gods, which is God Almighty. So he's not going to regard the God of his fathers. That will make the Antichrist that Assyrian Jew that we're talking about. Chapter 11, verse 37b, nor the desire of a woman. So what is that? I know some people teach that he don't have a desire of a woman, so he has homosexual tendencies. He don't want no involved in men. He likes guys, that type of thing. But here's something else. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you notice the desire of a woman. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now the desire of woman has something to do with bringing forth children. And the ideal generally taught that the desire of a woman, especially a Jewish woman, was the mother of the Messiah. And if that is true, you have a verse that says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, who's that? The God of fathers, nor desire the woman. So there is the God, the Son, the Messiah, and he has no respect for God the Father or God the Son. Makes sense, don't it? And 1 John chapter 2, if you notice it, about this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist that deny the Father and the Son. That's exactly what Daniel chapter 11, verses 37 indicates to do. So you can take that and study it out, and he don't want nothing to do with the woman because of that seed line. And by the way, Genesis chapter 3, when creation had fallen, when Satan corrupted creation and he came to this earth, and he corrupted, what did he do? He deceived Eve, and Adam made a choice, and they gave the deed of the world to him. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, this is where, that verse, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that's where you find the gospel of God, the good news that God was going to send a Redeemer, a seed of a woman, which, you know, that's a miracle in itself because a woman don't have no seed. So only God could do that. And so, see, the woman to redeem mankind. That, you know, that to me is something else. Let's go to Daniel chapter 11 right quick. Well, let's see. We got about 3 minutes. Daniel chapter 11, verse 38a. But he, in his estate shall be honored the God of forces. Notice that he will not pay attention to God the Father, nor God the Son, but he's going to honor the devil. Satan is called the God of forces. He is the God of this world, and he is one that is able to give the Antichrist the world. That's why the Antichrist is worshiping the God, the forces. Now, where... if you know what we've been studying, the universe, and we know that the God, that this earth is in the center of the universe, it's a footstool, and Satan came down to corrupt what God was doing, going to work through man to redeem the earth, is like his planetarial center. He is known as the God of this world, just like I was talking about. When Adam and Eve was told to replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, Adam was going to be prophet, priest, and king of this new earth. Okay? Satan came down and took it from him. Well, they gave him the deed. So he's known as God of the earth, a world. But before that happened, when Satan lifted up pride, he blew a fuse, and he corrupted 1/3 of the angelic being above the heavens, above the earth, okay? And like I said on before, he is the prince and power of the air, of the first heaven and second heaven. The third heaven is where God's at, throne. That's why he put an ice, okay? You can't look up there. If that ice was gone, you could see God Almighty, and that's going to take place over there. But he is above the earth. So he is known as the God of forces, the prince of the power of the air. You ever notice in Luke chapter 4? Well, let's just end it right there, because next week we're going to look at some, or next lesson we're going to look at the fact that Luke chapter 4, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Now how could a devil look at the Son of God and said, I will give you all this power? You ever thought about that? Well, I have, and many of you have too. But until next week, let's go to pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you give us. And as we went through this lesson of knowing what Israel is going to do in ages to come and how they're going to be purged to go into a kingdom over there, we can understand today that we are saved from that raft. and that we are not going to go through that wrath to come. And as we think about people that's trying to, their mind is being trying to be convinced that we're in that period now, we have to remember that Paul wrote a book about that in 2 Thessalonians, and he told the Thessalonians, I told you these things. Because the Thessalonians was being told that the rapture had already taken place and they was in the tribulation period. Much like today. Let's not be fooled. Let's understand who we are in Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Once again, this will be on our YouTube channel shortly. Or you can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. I know it's a long word, but once you get used to saying it, you're going to understand, hey, I'm a dispensationalist. It's a God-breathed word. But you can go to our website and you can go to lessons and this Daniel's lessons there if you want to get caught up on the audio and the video. And we look forward to hearing from you. If you got any questions or comments, I encourage you to share that with you. Also, if you want to partake in our ministry, we have a donate button there that you can donate, that type of thing. Or you can come by and see me in person. We do have a P.O. Box 592 Cambridge, Ohio. You can write DBC on it or something. But we would love to hear from you and tell me how you're doing and how these lessons are affecting you throughout your lifetime here on earth. But once again, we thank you for tuning in. We love you in Christ Jesus, and we hope to see you soon.